This is the All Saints Today podcast, and I'm your host, Pastor Wilbur Allen III. I tell you, we have an awesome guest today in the person of Elder Brandon Hollis. He's a good friend of mine, and Elder Hollis comes with a wealth of ministry experience. He is a noted national evangelist. He has preached in Pentecostal churches, Baptist, Methodist, as well as non-denominational churches across the country. And we here at All Saints, we have been blessed to have a minister here at All Saints as well. He is also a host of Ask the Pastor, which is on TCT television. And finally, he is a family man. He's married to Kiana and his two beautiful children, Lani, hopefully I pronounced that right, and Baraz. Elder Hollis, I'm so happy you agreed to come on our podcast.
Pastor Allen, what a pleasure it is to be with you. It doesn't matter how much you do in life and in ministry, there are just some people that have made a major impact on your life, and you are certainly one of those people. I am honored and humbled to be on with you today.
Well, praise God. I tell you, God has blessed you. You are a young minister in the gospel. And the Lord has opened many doors for you to minister across the country. And so if you could share with us some of the churches you've gone to and some of the wonderful experiences you had sharing the gospel to the Lord's people.
Absolutely. Well, I guess I should start here, Pastor Allen. I did not start off preaching. I started off singing. And we were attending a very small church in Alliance, Ohio, and I came home the way my mom tells the story. I was 5 years old, Pastor. I come home, and I was mimicking the preacher, and so she heard this ring in my voice, and you know how Pentecostal preachers preach, and so she heard that ring. And so she said, come here, Brandon. And so I came to her and she said, I think you can sing. So she said, I want you to do this. And I did it right back. And so we went through the whole Amazing Grace song. And that's how she discovered that I could sing. Well, from there, people were, even the very next Sunday at our local church, they were like, come on, let's have him sing. At the age of five, I did my very first full concert. And so as life went on, that is what I was doing. People were calling me to sing and bring the musical gift that I had. I've sang for the football enshrinement ceremony for the Football Hall of Fame here in Canton. And I sang actually the year after Macy Gray sang the national anthem. And I don't know if you remember that, Pastor Allen, but she messed up the words.
That's right.
So you can imagine all the pressure that was on me to come behind her a year later. And I've done musical events for governors and opened up for some of our gospel biggest names. Well, that's what I got comfortable doing, Pastor, until my mom and various people in my life were saying, we believe God is called you to preach. Well, at the time, I didn't hear that call. I didn't hear that call at all. In fact, I was running from it, you know, and keep hearing my mom say, no, there's an anointing on you to preach. All right, Mom, but I'm comfortable with singing. And but you know how it goes, Pastor. Sometimes God will bring you out of what you're comfortable in, so he could put you where he needs you to be.
And sometimes
that's against what we may want or desire. But God reminded me on so many occasions that I work for him. So I don't get to dictate to him what I am and ain't going to do. You go
that's
and
right.
do what the Lord has commissioned you to do. Finally, at the age of 15, I was praying and I heard the Lord speak to me and tell me it was time. I preached my first sermon at a church in Akron, Ohio. It's called St. Ashworth Temple, Church of God in
Christ. Oh, yes.
and it was under the leadership of Pastor Bradford then, and preached my first sermon there. From there, the calls came in, and the rest is history. God has taken me to some of God's finest places. I mean, I've preached for our presiding bishop, Bishop J. Drew Sheard of the Church of God in Christ. I preached for the presiding bishop of the Full Gospel Baptist Church. At that time, he was the presiding bishop. That was Bishop Paul S. Morton. The Lord has blessed me to travel and do so many things. Just a couple weeks ago, I was at one of our general board members' church. Bishop
said, that's right.
Daniels had a good time in the Lord there. So the very thing that I was running from, Pastor Allen, is the very thing. Guess what? Nobody calls me no more for singing. All the calls come in to preach the word of God. The one thing that I stay true to, Pastor, and I'll turn it back over to you. The one thing that I stay true to is preaching Jesus.
Yes.
People ask me, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a little later, how are you able to serve in two different organizations and cross those lines? I preach Jesus. I don't get away from it. I preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm real in my message. You've had me multiple times there at All Saints. And so, you know, I just keep it real. I know that if it had not been
yes,
or on my side, I know where I would be. And so I try to come from that perspective. We have not arrived. We're not that such a much that you can get amnesia and forget where the Lord has brought you. So every time I mount the pulpit, I try to come from that perspective.
Well, I tell you, that's quite a story in terms of starting out at the age of five. I would even add to that, just to let you know, the late Bishop William James, mm-hmm. he started preaching at the age of five.
Is that right? I did not know that.
Yes, yes. Oh. Well, also, you are you're a host on TCT Television.
Yes, sir.
You host the program Ask the Pastor. If you could tell us how you became associated with TCT Television, which is based in Akron, correct?
Based in Akron, the founding station is and still is in Marion, Illinois. But they built this station in Akron, and it has now become the main hub. Yes, sir.
Well, how did you become associated with TCT?
Funny story with that one as well. And talk about being at the right place at the right time. That particular building where TCT is now in Akron, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was a skating rink. It may have been something else. Whatever it was, it certainly wasn't a television studio. And they were renovating that building. And someone that was working with the gentleman that was leading that project said, Brandon, you should just come over and meet this guy. His name was Tom Nolan. Tom Nolan is here, and he's going to put a television studio here. You should just come and meet him. And the idea was for me to introduce myself to him and he understand that I was also an artist, so that when these television programs come out, if they needed music, that I could come and do that. Well, that was the idea. So we go and we meet this guy, and we're talking, and he doesn't know me from Adam. Again, he's from Marion, Illinois. And so he doesn't know anything about Akron. He's just there to lead the project of this building, this studio getting started. We get to talking, and Pastor, I start telling him about a show idea that I had. I didn't know where I was going to go with this show idea. I didn't know who I was going to talk to about this show idea, but I started talking to him about it. And he's like, he's kind of giving me the church conversation, you know, okay, hey, that's what's up. All right. I'm a stay in touch. And I've heard that so much. You've heard that, Pastor.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
That means you may or may not hear from me again. Well, he gave me that. And I thought to myself, I ain't going to hear from this man. Well, that was an untrue thought I had, because when the studio got completed, he called me. He called me and said, I want you to come and I want you to do music for our first live program that's happening. I go, I minister some songs, but right after I sit down and talk with him, he wants to meet with me. He said, you know, when I first met you, you were telling me about that idea you had about a show. He said, we need something like that on the network. Now, this show was geared toward young believers.
Okay.
And to make a long story short, we did that show. We went full steam ahead, and I was one of the main hosts for that show that aired for several weeks on the network. And from there, now, mind you, I had done stuff like we're doing right now, where I was being interviewed or on this side of the camera, but I was never doing the interviewing, you know, being the interviewer, being the host. I had no experience in it whatsoever. Tom Nolan made me host show after show after show. And here we are some 10 years plus later, I'm still hosting for the TCT Network. And mind you, we are in the top five as one of the largest Christian television networks in the world.
That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
I remember you had me on as guest host. Man, I was nervous that day.
You did awesome, though.
Oh, well, thank you. And you were hosting a program with Dorinda Clark Cole. And that's a wonderful ministry the Lord has given you. Obviously, I would say the Lord has placed you in positions with your gifting, with your anointing to reach people.
Yes,
and I do celebrate what the Lord is doing with you.
Amen.
And and given the fact, I'm tickled by this, you have preached at Two Presiding Bishops Church.
Yes, sir.
And yet you come and preach just as hard at All Saints Temple. I really respect that. And I admire that. And you come, when you do come, you come with such a humility that I really praise God for that. Well, I want to ask you this, something I've been somewhat concerned about, and especially after COVID, I'm sure you've seen it across the country where the church has shifted into the Black church. It doesn't matter if it's non-denominational, denominational, Baptist, Methodist, doesn't matter. The church has shifted into being, the Black church, that is, has shifted into being a generational church. And Elder Hollis, I remember coming up as a child in the church. I don't know if you remember my father or not.
I do.
His generation. Now, these were people, as a matter of fact, my father was a street preacher. He had street services.
Wow.
And I tell you where it was at. He used to have it on 7th and Roland Northeast here in Canton. And then he also would have it in Crenshaw Park. And Elder Hollis, people would get saved and they were healed on the street corner. And even his pastor, the late Elder Lee Knuckles.
Yes.
People would get saved. They were delivered. They were transformed. And these were people who were off the street. Maybe they had some church background, but you... Back then, the Black church was not generational. And so now you have this, we're at this stage where I can project, say, 20 years from now, maybe even 10 years from now, there's going to be a challenge for the Black church in terms of reaching, say, folks your age and younger.
Yes, sir.
And you are, may I say your age?
Absolutely.
You're 34 years old.
Yes, sir.
So I don't think you're a millennial. You might be considered Generation Next.
Maybe. So I don't really know.
Yeah. It's one of those. Yeah. And well, I'm gonna ask you this question.
Yes.
How should the Black church, what methodology should the Black church engage in to reach a generation, maybe I would say two generations of folks, who do not have a church background?
Mm-hmm. I think, and as soon as you ask this question, the first thing that comes to my head is that people today, my age and younger and even some older, have gotten away from church as usual. Mm. And there are many churches, even after the pandemic, after COVID, who are stuck in doing things the way they've always done them.
Yes.
Now, I am right there in the middle as with my belief system that there are some things that absolutely should not be changed. Mm-hmm. There are some ways, there are some methods that we shouldn't tamper with, especially if it's been successful. Mm-hmm. But there are some things where we need to adjust in order to adjust to where we are. The Bible says, becoming all things to all men that I mm-hmm. might win some. That means you can't just do it one way and expect to win a different group than what you've seen. We've got to do some different things. I think one of the main ways that we can get out there and get that generation back into the kingdom is if we get more personal. What do I mean by that? You've got to get out and shake some hands without giving a scripture.
That's right.
You've got to get out and love on somebody. If your church is centered in a neighborhood, you need to be walking that neighborhood, meeting the people. I remember while COVID was going on, I had to preach in Youngstown and they had an outside service. While I'm preaching in this parking lot, like your father, I'm preaching in this parking lot and I see people coming out of their homes, but just standing on their porch. Well, I'm That's preaching right. to these people on the parking lot here, and they're honking horns and they're celebrating, but I see those souls that were standing right. on the porch. You know what I did, Pastor Allen? They called me crazy that day, but I didn't. I put that mic down. And I had preached all I felt like I needed to preach to the people that were on that parking lot, because those were the people that I was just edifying.
Yes.
Those were the people that I was just encouraging. You already got Jesus. You already have the Holy Ghost. I'm encouraging you. No, the folk that don't have what you have are standing on those porches right now. I put the mic down, and without summoning an adjutant and security, I didn't care nothing about that. I went and I got on those porches with those people.
Yes.
And I prayed this prayer of salvation so that they can come. You know what? Those people, and I'm not going to quote the church and get nobody in trouble, but those people, many of them that were standing on that porch that day, had never, ever had any contact with anybody from that church.
Oh, my.
So it blew my mind. So we're talking about people who just got saved right here, right now, standing on their porch, but the church is sitting within eye distance of their home. That is a problem. That is because we're so busy, and sometimes we can get into this flow of just wanting people, invite them to church. Come on to church. We having this at the church. Some folk, here's the reality. I'm getting ready to bust some bubbles right here. Some folk ain't going to step foot in your church.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's oh, yes.
You know what? I get on Facebook from time to time, Pastor Allen, and you know what I see? I see All Saints Temple holding things in the parking lot of the church where you're giving out free haircuts. You are giving food out to. Oh, yeah. I've been watching. I see what you're doing. Yeah. You know what that is? That is driving Jesus into the community. You didn't have no service. You didn't tell them you got to come into this building. Mm-hmm. If you want to come, great. But yes. If you don't, I'm going to bring you Jesus right here, right now, with this haircut, with
That's
this
right.
food, with this hug. I told some saints, I was preaching in Cleveland just last Sunday, and I made a post. You may have seen it, Pastor Allen, and I talked about, you know, so many times we can, as preachers, you and I are preachers.
Yes,
so you
yes. know that
we can think that the exegeting of a text and our homiletics and all of that is going to
do remember it. That.
Sometimes it don't do it. Sometimes, like I had to do
doesn't.
That Sunday, Pastor Allen, I had to come out of that pulpit and go down there on the floor with the people and embrace the people, you know, be there with the people. You cannot be an example of Jesus and not look and smell like Jesus. The Bible says, now you got stirred up here now, Pastor Allen.
That's all right.
The Bible says when Jesus went to look for his disciples, the Bible says he went down to the docks. If you look at the word docks and really break that down, that was the ghetto, that was the hood, that was the projects. That's where Jesus went. You mean to tell me he didn't go to the temples to find people? He didn't go to the people that already had titles and positions? No. He went down to the docks and found his followers. Woo! That says
a lot. I like that.
If Jesus can go down to the ghetto and the hood and find
yes.
people that will walk with him, surely we need to be down with the people, letting them know, I'm not too good, I'm not too big, I'm not too grand, where I cannot love you where you are. What am I saying? Let's get back to your question. I'm telling everybody that is listening to this podcast right now, right here, sometimes you got to take off your clergy cross. You got to take the collar off. Every now
and yes.
then, you just need to put you on a pair of jeans and a t-shirt and go and love on the people.
That's it.
I believe that our generation will respond better to somebody being real, not you forcing your rules and regulations.
Not I see now.
To tell them about how you did it and how you got it, because how you got it may not be how I'm gonna get it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I truly believe that that is a very important piece, which is getting out there and getting on the level of the people. Number two, if they do come to the house, if they do show up to the temple, you need to make sure that music is hitting.
That's right.
That music is a major piece for people opening up and feeling comfortable to receive.
Okay?
There are some people that have been through all kinds of things in life and it has closed them off. Here's the reality, Pastor Allen. There are some people out there, and a large number of them are my generation, who have been hurt by church people. So they're closed off. They already have a mindset that I don't want to receive. It could be good. Your preaching could be amazing, but they can't even receive it because they've come in with a closed off spirit. The music causes them to open up. Why do we do praise and worship before the preacher gets up? Because that deals with the spirit and the heart, and it causes you to go ahead and lift your hands and worship Lord. When you can do that, now your heart has been prepped to receive. Come on now, let's go to the surgery room.
Oh, yes.
For the surgery room, my mom a couple years ago had a leg amputation. I walked through her with that entire process. They didn't just jump right in and amputate her leg. There was a process that had to be done. They had to prep her for surgery.
There was
a preparation that needed to take place. When the people come into, hallelujah, when the people come into the sanctuary, you need to prep them for what's getting ready to happen. You need to make sure that they are prepared for the word of God to go in and plant seed. So that music, it has to be good. Wait a minute. I think I got ahead of myself, Pastor Allen. Let me go back. Let me not even get to the music yet. Let me get to them ushers.
Oh, hello.
Let me get to the
hello.
people that represent your church. Those folks need not to be mean rattlesnake people.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
What do I mean by that? If they're walking into the doors of your church, you need to make sure that the people that are greeting people are people that love people.
That's right. I like that.
Folks right here, right now. I'm telling you right now, if you ain't a people person, don't have them at the door. Don't have them usher nobody to their seat, because that's a turnoff.
That's right. That's right.
So making sure, number one, that the leadership has went out and they've got on their level. Number two, if they do come to the sanctuary, making sure everybody that's handling them is handling them with care. All right.
That's right. That's right.
And number three, that music piece definitely needs to be, and we can't have musicians that party all week and then use the church as a gig for Sunday. No, those aren't the
that's
ones.
That's right.
Not the ones that are singing on the praise team that sleep with everybody in the church. And then not those.
That's right. That's
people
right.
that are living a life that is pleasing to God, because that's the only way that what they're doing in their music ministry will be effective to the people sitting in the pews. And then finally, that word.
Yes.
That word is left up to the preacher, the pastor, to make sure that, and I do this quite often, and I'm not a pastor yet. I'm an evangelist. And so I go from church to church to church. And so when I do become a pastor, I'll be sitting down with my big brother, like Pastor Alan. I'll be getting tips on how to do it as a pastor. Because as an evangelist, I go and drop a word and I'm gone. I'm not responsible for the upkeep, if you will, of
that's
that
right.
soul. And so, but the one thing I do as an evangelist, I sit in that pulpit and I scan that crowd. Lord, I know I've prepared something, but what are you saying? Is this still something that you want to speak to this body? Because I may have a sermon that's dealing with praise, but God is saying, no, healing is what needs to be spoken today to this room. So being mindful of what God is saying to the people, because our agenda may not be the will of God.
And that's right.
That's always a major piece as well. I hope I've given enough nuggets there.
I tell you, Elder Hollis, you basically gave a seminar on ministry for the 21st century. Those are some critical points, and I pray that some folks will be blessed by that, because some of the things you have said, which is very interesting to listen to, some of the things that you have said, we have begun to institute those things at All Saints. And just to give an example, we have our pantry ministry. And we have our pantry ministry, and then we have our virtual online ministry. And the pantry, the folks that come to that pantry ministry, I consider those All Saints members as well.
Yes.
And so we minister to them. But I want to, man of God, I want to thank you for this time you have set aside. And I'm sure many will be blessed by this. And I'm going to ask you if you could do a prayer and even invite folks to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Most definitely. And let me tell you, Pastor Alan, thank you for this opportunity. As much as it may be a blessing to someone, this has been a blessing to me. So I want to thank you for that. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to share of your goodness. You are such a good God. You're a great God. You are an awesome God. You're a loving God. And we thank you for being that for us. Lord, let something that was said today between Pastor Alan and I pierce the heart of somebody. Somebody's going to get to know you in a better way off of this podcast. Somebody is going to come to receive you as their Lord and Savior from this podcast. I prophesy it, I speak it, and I believe it as done in Jesus' name. Whoever is listening to these words right now. Let it not just be the words of Brandon Hollis, the words of Pastor Allen. No, these are the words, Father, that have been infused with your anointing. Father, somebody's hurting. Somebody needs you. Somebody is right on the edge of feeling like they are so by themselves. They're just going to push them own selves off. No, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you touch in a special way, touch like only you can, Lord. Touch the minds, touch the hearts, touch the souls of the people, Father. Let them to know that they are not alone, but that you're sending angels to be encamped about them, even now, in Jesus' name. Now, if there's somebody listening right now and you say, well, I don't know that Jesus you're talking about, and I can't lean on him in the way that you're speaking of because I haven't made him my personal Savior. If that is you, I want you to repeat after me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I repent of all of my sins. I know that without you, I am nothing. But with you, I have everything. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross just for me. But your story didn't stop there. You rose again with all power. Come into my heart. Make me yours. And I promise that with your help, I will serve you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, my God, today you are saved. Now listen, there's some extra steps that you need to do. And so I want to remind you that Pastor Allen and All Saints Temple is an amazing church. If you're in the Canton area, they are full of love, they are full of Jesus, and they have what you need. There's some steps that you need to take. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to contact them. Contact Pastor Allen. Let him know that you prayed that prayer, and he will give you those extra steps that you need. Pastor Allen, thank you so very much.
Well, praise God, man of God. I'm so happy you took some time out with us. And yes, obviously the Lord has gifted you for this time. And we celebrate what he is doing in and through your life.
Yes, sir. Thank
well,
you
folks, so much. Well, folks, I praise God. I hope that you enjoyed this and you were inspired. And we will be praying for each and every one of you. If you want to contact us, go to allsaintstemple.org. And you can reach us by way of our website. Blessings to each and every one of you.